Listening to Making Progress News for a Change for the week of September 17th, 2007. My name is Barry Summers. Veronica's out with a cough. She'll be back next week. Joining me in the studio are occasional Making Progress contributors, Susan Oler. Susan, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
And this may be the first time we've had Lady Passion in the studio, although she has contributed to some issues connected with Making Progress in the past. Lady Passion is the High Priestess of Coven Oldenwild here in Western North Carolina. Lady Passion, are you there?
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to be speaking about the upcoming visit to the Asheville area of Salih Alawi, who's from Iraq, and we'll be talking to Susan and hopefully the organizers down in Greenville, South Carolina, where she is now. She is receiving care and prosthetic limbs for her injuries incurred in Iraq at the hands of the United States. And there is an organization called No More Victims. And you can go to the WPVM.org homepage and check on the link there and see Salih and see the issues, see the group that is funding care for injured children in Iraq, and find out how you can get involved. We'll be talking to Susan about that. We'll be talking to Lady Passion about being Wiccan in Western North Carolina and the intersections of spirituality and activism. And later we'll be joined by sustainable agriculture expert Brian Green. Brian has been led through his activities in agriculture to question our monetary system, and he is advocating for a better understanding of why we have the money we do, how it's organized the way it is, and how we can better understand that system to our benefit and to society's benefit. So it's a jam-packed show, and I want to thank both of you for being here. So, Lady Passion, tell me and the listeners how long you have been involved as a Wiccan, and how long Coven Oldenwild has been active here in Asheville.
I've been Wiccan for 31 years, since I was 13. I'll be 44 very soon. And we founded Coven Oldenwild as a public coven in 1994, so it's been quite a few years here. Mm-hmm. We went public right away, and we said, we're here, this is a great area for indigenous magic, and so relax about it, enjoy, and come participate with us.
And you're also known, along with your partner, for organizing and sponsoring the annual Samhain rituals, which has gotten quite a bit of press for its colorful and spirited interaction with the Christian community. And if I can speak for you, I think that you think that that's a positive thing. Would you agree?
Well, we used to have some protesters. It's been many a year. I mean, we tend to go with our Wiccan rights, and if anyone tries to interfere in any way, we will assert those rights. Mm-hmm. There are rules and ordinances forbidding any religion or any religious person from interfering with any other type of religious organization, any kind of religious festival or anything. Mm-hmm. And so we will definitely go with our rights on that issue. But they, truth be told, they just don't do it anymore. They know that every time they try, they get a black eye in the press. And mm-hmm. so we tend to get along really well. For the last 3 years, we've been on Christian-owned land, as a matter of fact, at Unity Center in Arden, Fletcher. Mm. And so that's where we'll be this year for our 13th annual.
Uh-huh. And some of those interactions have been very spirited, and I think that we'll get into this later. You have been involved in some activism that's had us not always a positive interaction with the police, the Asheville Police Department. But in your opinion, how has the police dealt with the Samhain rituals and the relationships between the various religious groups?
I don't think that they have a clue. They do not have any sensitivity, I'll be honest about that. They just don't have any sensitivity when it comes to anything that they are not automatically familiar with, even years and years into it. They still show quite a bit, unfortunately, of systemic institutional type bigotry, mm-hmm. which is why we've been on sort of private land lately, the last few years. We just don't want to mess with it. We don't want to put up with it.
Some years have been on city city parkland, parks, and, and
which has been fine. The only problems we've ever had have been from, you know, more institutionalized people, the police and all. But you know, hopefully they will get more sensitive as time goes on. We've been encouraging them. We've done a lot of lectures to police at WCU and different colleges, encouraging them to understand what they are going to encounter out there once they graduate. And so it's an ongoing thing. It truly is.
Along with being the spiritual leader of this particular coven here in Asheville, you're also quite the activist. And I'll let our listeners know how you and I met. We wound up in the Pokey together.
We sure did.
What is it now? 5 years ago now.
Going on that long.
Thrown into a paddy wagon just a block from the station here, along with 30 other fellow Ashevillians for. Thrown in jail, roughly, and
I think there were 47 of us
prosecuted. Well, the first batch, and then we all got down to the county jail, and of course they were, the jailers there were openly saying, well, they told us to expect 30 at 1 hour, and then a couple hours later another 30, so we have to get you out. Like, it was planned earlier in the afternoon that the day the war started in Iraq. Quite a few of us were out in the streets.
Well, it's actually because of my being a witch that I'm an activist. To me, my spirituality is about applied spirituality. It's about living it. And so there are principles involved, and I act on my principles. If something offends me, then I stand up and I say something about it. I do something about it. It's better than just, you know, cracking about it, complaining about it. I like to get something accomplished that's positive. So the things that we come out against or for, depending, are very clear-cut. Wiccan types of issues about non-police brutality of the people and pro civil rights and pro trees, not getting cut down or developed over. And so those are the very types of issues that we always come out about.
And just as I'm always trying to be here on the show, the Great Leveler, I think it's worth pointing out that many branches of Christian religions believe these same things, but not all of them practice or not all of them are activists. You will find Christian-based ecological movements. You will find Christian-based peace and justice movements.
Yes, it's true for a lot of spiritual people. I think the difference between a lot of them and Wiccans is that we, having been a persecuted people for a long, long time, tend to have more of a backbone at times and more sense of urgency about things. And so we tend to act quickly with care. But we do tend to act very fast when something offends us or something excites us.
And this is a very interesting community for the interaction. And I'll tell our listeners what motivated me to first move to Asheville 10 years ago. I was contemplating moving to two different cities in North Carolina, and I chose Asheville because there I was at the Vance Monument waiting at a light, and the car ahead of me had a bumper sticker that said, "Give me that old-time religion," and it had a pentagram.
Yes.
And I just thought that was hilarious. And and that, to me, sort of crystallized the nature of Asheville. It is one of the places that many different cultures collide, I think, to the benefit of all cultures.
I do, too.
And quite often there's some negative repercussions to those collisions, but in the end, I think we all sort of grow, and that's what I like about Asheville. Tell us... first of all, before I forget, you have a very interesting book that's out there that's doing well.
Oh, it's smash hit. We're all very pleased about it.
The Goodly Spell book.
Old Spells for Modern Problems. Yes, it sold out very quickly. Then they did a reprint. The largest distributor of metaphysical books in the United States did a reprint recently, and it's sold out. It's been translated into Italian, and the paperback edition is coming out next spring.
You and your partner, Duvet, co-wrote this book, and it is very much about using the spiritual technology of it's actually a working religion. It's a religion.
It is.
It's a worldview that has very specific interactions between you and your environment and vice versa. And this spell book is about manipulating your relationship to the natural world, to other people, to yourself, to your inner self.
Absolutely, everything on a daily basis. Yes,
I find it fascinating. Even if you don't practice it, even if you're not looking for, as I said, a toolbox of how things to use, I found it a very rich sort of introduction to Wiccan thought and the way that you interact with your world.
It is, and I think it helps explain that a lot of people work magic on a daily basis. They just take it for granted. They call it superstition or this and that. Most people blow out candles and little things, or not even walking under ladders. These things are really old. They have basis in, spiritual science, if you will, and reason behind them. And so people do magic every day. They just sort of take it for granted sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other issues that you have been active in, and again, as a disclaimer, so have I, and one of our other co-hosts, David Lynch, the three of us helped co-found a group some years ago that grew out of that arrest the day the war started. Asheville Justice Watch was involved with exploring the ability or the possibility of creating an oversight board for the Asheville Police.
Yes.
And we were involved with that effort for 6 months to...
Many, many months.
To a year.
Probably a year or mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm.
And was that sort of the beginning of your... Of a relationship with law enforcement? And obviously you had the Samhain, you had the Samhain ritual, sort of interface, and then we had mm-hmm. the war, the arrests and that whole debacle.
I had been watching for many, many years, many stories, many complaints from people about policy problems with the police as far as interacting with the people, a lot of claims of abuse and brutality. And so it wasn't our first actual major encounter with them, but it was definitely the worst. I've mm-hmm. never seen anything like it. I hope I never do mm-hmm. again. But, a lot of good things came out of that, Asheville Justice Watch, and we had meetings all over the city. People as a whole pretty much united in favor of it, and it's continued on. Mm-hmm. We did end up with pressuring, I think, the city to make some positive changes, like allowing public input in the... selection of the new police chief. That mm-hmm. was unprecedented. And we've had meetings with him, and there have been some slight policy changes made because of our input. Mm-hmm. But it's ongoing, and I think really all the people need to do now, since we have a new city council, a new general manager even, and a new police chief, is take a page from the Wilmington city. Asheville's not the only city in North Carolina that wants an oversight board. Citizen-driven over the police. And Wilmington has one of the best models that we know of. We still have all this information. We'd be happy to share it with people that are picking up the ball.
Mm-hmm. And there is more talk of that recently because of recent protest events that collided with law enforcement. And
there was several years ago, and here's yet another group. This mm-hmm. issue, once raised, is not going to go away.
Right.
And so it can totally be done, and a board set up with teeth that would be really workable, but they're going to have to go to the state legislature and mm-hmm. get a couple of amendments, little things made.
It's not an easy hurdle. It's not just something that happens at city council. It's something that has to go all the way to Raleigh.
It starts perhaps with city council and citizen support, but eventually it will have to go to Raleigh for approval, really. It's a rubber stamp type of thing, and other cities have done it. It's not insurmountable by any means. It's completely doable.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Lady Passion some more, and Susan Oler's here. And Brian Green, you're listening to Making Progress, News for a Change. We'll be right back.
Travel on down.
You're listening to Making Progress, News for Change. That's WPVM favorites, Donna the Buffalo. And we're back. We're talking to Lady Passion of Coven Oldenwyl. And Susan Oler is here to talk about Iraqi children and how you can help. And we've been joined by Brian Green, sustainable agriculture expert. And he'll be talking about the relationship between human beings and money and vice versa. Lady Passion, one of the more recent things that you've been involved with is the magnolia tree next to City Hall is under threat, and your group decided to speak out both about the issue and to actually take action. Tell us what your group did out there at the magnolia tree.
Well, the county commissioners apparently sold this land, which was a small parcel, but it was what everyone thought for over 100 years was a public parkland to this developer who wanted to erect retail and condo space right in front of City Hall by the courthouse and the county jail. And we felt like that was egregious, immoral, and unethical. So we decided to do a big ritual. We chanted Barbara's words of power. We did a cone of power around these. It's actually a pair of mated trees, very old. And a lot of people love that tree because they have danced underneath it. They have gotten married beneath it for obvious reasons because it just screams mated pair of trees.
Old-time music has been played under there.
Oh, yes.
Summer weekends for many, many, many years.
Oh, yes. And so it's a very beloved spot. And I think a lot of people are outraged. They're just fed up with developers trying to cut down every tree that exists everywhere, downtown and everywhere. And so it really hit a nerve, and it certainly did with us. So we went out on a limb, out on the record about it, and encouraged people to contact. We passed out the contact information for the county commissioners and the developer involved, and encouraged them to put pressure on them to rescind the deal, which a lot of people feel could be illegal.
Of course, this is the Parkside condominiums, which have been proposed by local developer Stuart Coleman, reminiscent of the Grove Park Inn condominiums that were attempted there some years ago. And, of course, the tree is not the only issue. It's a large chunk of land, and it's right there on the edge of the park, which has been very carefully redeveloped over the last few years for great cost, and it's now sort of the potential is that it's sort of just going to be a front lawn for a bunch of out-of-state millionaires. But the tree is definitely sort of the lightning rod, sort of the
it's symbolic. It really is symbolic, and it's a living thing. It's a living being. And retail space and condos is not really alive. It's made out of inert materials. I suppose it could become habited, but starting from scratch, it's just incomparable. And there are principles involved here on a number of levels, and so we chose to see the symbolic big picture of it and to highlight this for people to take umbrage at, as we knew that they would if they knew about it. The county commissioners kept it secret. It happened last November. They kept it secret until about May this year, and as soon as we found out about it, we took action.
And of course, that's still to be fought over, both at the county and city level. It's not a done deal.
No, it's not.
By any means. What other things are you involved with? You have the Samhain ritual coming up.
Yes, and of course, constantly we are changing laws, eradicating laws, advocating for people on a really worldwide level. But most recently, one of the neat things that we just got through doing is it took about 6 months of a lot of phone calls, letters, emails, and all that sort of thing. But we won Wiccan prisoners throughout the state of Virginia the right to have and to order and use tarot cards as one of their spiritual tools, which had been fought forever and overruled many times. Mm-hmm. And so we did that.
There is a growing recognition, and it's every step is hard fought. Just recently, the widow of a soldier killed in Iraq won the right to have a Wiccan symbol put on his gravestone. The U.S. government was actually fighting having his religious symbol of choice put on his gravestone after fighting and dying for the United States.
Which was ironic because they had hundreds of approved symbols from so many more obscure religions. And so it was definitely bigotry involved there.
Although I did just see last week there was a meeting of George Bush met with some family members from the state where he was visiting on a campaign appearance. And this wife, fallen soldier's wife, was initially expected to be there, and her name suddenly disappeared from the guest list. And she was the one member of this man's family. All the rest of them went to this event. His Wiccan wife was prevented from going to meet the president.
Well, you know, Bush went on the record before he was ever, quote, elected in 2000 and definitely said that if it was up to him, Wicca would not be a legally recognized religion. So he's gone on record about that numerous times.
But he's learned, you know, as many politicians are, that, hey, guess what? This is the United States of America.
That's right.
That's surprise, surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, thanks very much, Lady Passion, again, leader of Coven Oldenwild. And
I really hope everybody comes out to Samhain 13. It's going to be this Halloween from 8 p.m. until on Unity Center. That's 2041 Old Fanning Bridge Road in Arden.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll be speaking with Brian Green about sustainable agriculture and money. You're listening to Making Progress. We'll be right back.